Well, as the final cold winds of winter sort of come to a close, doesn't feel like that where I'm living at the moment, our minds do tend to reflect on summer, the warmth, the sun, the holidays. How do you plan your time away? The internet's given us many things. One of the most popular is review sites. You can jump online, punch in where you want to go, and find a plethora of reviews from fellow travellers, revealing the good, the bad, the dirty, the noisy. But is this a crowdsourced mecca of truthful opinions? Well, not always. 2 years ago, a British man gamed the system to make his backyard shed the top restaurant destination in London on TripAdvisor. The fictional Grand Budapest Hotel from the Wes Anderson film has 363 reviews and a 4.5-star rating, along with, I note, a note from TripAdvisor: "This is a fictional place. Please do not try to book a visit here." Now, this is good for a laugh, I know, but there can be a darker side to fake reviews, and they are also incredibly hard to spot. Joining me now in the studio is Quentin Long, who's the co-founder of Australian Traveller Media. Good morning.
Morning, Geraldine.
And also on Skype is Adrian Camilleri, Senior Lecturer in Marketing at the University of Technology in Sydney. Thank you for being there.
Good morning.
Adrian, you've just done some new research. How likely are Australians to leave a review or a star rating after they've used a product or service?
Yeah, so I ran a survey and I asked people, in the last 12 months, how often have you left a review and how often have you looked for a review? And so about half of Australians responded that they had not left a review in the last 12 months, but only 18% said that they hadn't read a review. So there's a bit of a disparity between the number of people looking for reviews and leaving reviews.
And are there differences in who tends to trust them and who doesn't?
Well, the first thing to note is that younger people are more likely to leave reviews, and males are also more likely to leave reviews. But it turns out that females are the ones who are more likely to read reviews. So again, there's a bit of an interesting disparity there.
And do older people trust them less than younger people?
That's right, yes. Older people are leaving less reviews, reading less reviews, and overall trusting reviews less.
And I mean, could you judge whether people read a review and then acted upon it in terms of parting with their money, or was it not as deep as that?
This research didn't ask that, but we did ask how important reviews were in your decision making, and reviews are right at the top after store browsing, even more important than experts' opinions.
Really? Isn't it? Quentin, does that surprise you? I mean, I know it's every month, 456 million people. I mean, these figures are just staggering. Visit some arm of tripadvisor.com for travel advice. Can you remember a time when consumer reviews didn't go hand in hand?
Hardly. it's one of those things where we've come to accept this as the norm. And now that's exactly, it's a huge part of travel decision making.
And who are the main competitors in this area?
So TripAdvisor is probably the big one that everybody knows. But one little known fact is, you know, Booking.com, which is a huge online travel agency, has more reviews than TripAdvisor on specific hotels. So they actually aggregate more reviews on accommodation than TripAdvisor does. And the difference there is that they're doing it based on actual booking, so you can actually know that this person
has
actually
parted up with
there.
Their money.
And so Expedia, which is the other major group, so there's three major groups, Geraldine. So there's Booking.com, and they own properties like Booking.com, Kayak, which is a meta search. They also just recently bought Hotels Combined, which is an Australian meta search company. But then Expedia, who owns Expedia, obviously, and Hotels.com and all those sorts of brands, and in Australia, What If and Last Minute, they also do exactly the same thing, and they are harvesting real reviews from people who have booked through their platform to be able to then say this is actually a qualified review. And that's their big difference. Unfortunately, TripAdvisor has the brand when it comes to reviews, so more people turn to TripAdvisor for that functionality or that sort of service.
How do people have the time to look anyway?
I don't know. I'm with you. I'm part of that. What is it? I'm part of the, you know, 72% that don't leave a review, and that's the thing that I think is really interesting. There's a piece of research out there that estimates that there are about 30% of TripAdvisor reviews are actually fake. And you use that great case study of you know, the Budapest hotel. Yeah. And so this is a real problem. The other side of the coin that is there is that there's a lot of extortion that goes on. In terms of TripAdvisor, if you don't refund me, if you don't give me what I want. I'm a mega reviewer on TripAdvisor. I'm going to give you a bad review, and I'm actually going to then damage your business. And there's the damage is real, and the damage is everlasting. And the real problem then becomes, what does TripAdvisor do about it? They don't do enough, in my opinion, but that's for them to respond to.
Could they?
They should. They could do a lot. I mean, if you can write an algorithm that does all the things that they're doing, the problem is their business model is predicated on not paying for content. And so once the content becomes expensive, their business model falls apart.
What I mean is, can they spot a fake review? Could I spot a fake review?
Oh, yeah, they say they've got all sorts of algorithms, but, you know, there's agencies out there that will write reviews for you, and you pay, you know, $120 and you'll get 10 reviews, and they'll do them very cleverly so that they only go up, you know, once every month, and then eventually they'll slowly but surely get you to the top of the TripAdvisor rankings, and therefore the money will flow.
Adrian, your thoughts here?
Yeah, it's very hard to detect fake reviews, as Quinton's pointing out. People are writing them with the intention of being deceitful, but there are algorithms that can do a better job than humans at detecting reviews. So, for example, there's a website called fakespot.com where you can just paste in the URL of the, for example, TripAdvisor hotel that you're looking at, and it will give you a rating of how honest those reviews might be. But for the individual who's trying to spot the fake review for themselves, there are some things you can look out for. So fake reviews tend to be much more one-sided and extreme, often extremely positive, and they tend to focus more on the product, things that you could actually look up, as opposed to subjective details of what the experience was actually like. And the reviewer profile is also a good source of information. So often the fake reviewers have profiles that have very few details, and they have very few reviews, and the reviews that are there are usually very, very positive.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't actually drilled down there. I mean, I was sort of it's the negative, the ridiculously negative ones that yell out at me as fake, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, you can fake reviews by paying for positive reviews for yourself or negative reviews for your competition. But I think in general, most companies are paying for positive reviews for their own brand or product.
And I mean, Quentin, surely there are people who are disgruntled, you know, axe to grind, ex-employee types, who are positively hostile.
Absolutely, and so they're the real damage, you know, that it's done because they are so hostile, and they really do basically put the boot in and hit these businesses where they hurt most. And the real problem is the recourse that the businesses have with TripAdvisor is slow, and by the time that TripAdvisor responds, the damage is done. And there are numerous case studies of businesses going out of business because of activity like this.
I read from, and I can't find it, it was like a tourism minister from a third world country sort of really having a go at, I suppose, moneyed Westerners who just in a cavalier way had a go at some person in the third world trying to set up a new business, and said that there are real people involved here and this is not a casualty-free zone.
That's right. And that's the problem is that as we all experience daily, not just in cases of travel reviews, is that the anonymity that the internet gives people is a license to damage people, and they never consider that, and they don't come face to face with that. And look, that's not to say that everything is wrong, but the real perversity of this is that this was meant to be an efficiency tool, and it's now become so difficult to sort of distill down the truth from the unreality that is out there, that it's actually inefficient. It makes it harder to find out the truth than actually
because you go roaming around
Hours. You've got to knock out the top 20% and the bottom 20% of it. You know, and I just don't have time for that.
It's not just fake reviews either, but suppressing reviews, I understand. Meriton, one of our largest apartment developers and service department operators, got in trouble with the Consumer Watchdog last year, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And they were very clever about it in the way that they gamed the system. And what they did was if they saw a potential guest that they thought would leave a negative review, they would deliberately make an incorrect entry in that guest's email address so that the guest would not get the email to leave a review. And so that they were therefore shopping for positive reviews.
And now, Adrian, just looking at the time, I see that the average traveller, you say, goes to 43 sites before they book. Honestly, I just can't believe this. So, you know, is it going to sort of eat itself up, this?
Yeah, I mean, one of the ways, I guess, you can try to combat this fake review tendency is to look at multiple websites, and presumably the fraudsters are not paying for reviews on every website. And I guess the other thing I'd suggest is just to look for reviews from experts or people that you actually do know and trust.
Okay. Look, I'm going to wrap you up. Thank you both very much indeed. Quentin Long from Australian Traveller Media and Adrian Camilleri from UTS.
Thanks very much, Geraldine. Lovely to see you.